podcast for what?
You guys got an app?
What?
You guys got an app?
Hey, really quick, dude, look at your knuckles. You got Fonzo's hat on your knuckles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, we're out. The pilot number 69.
And so the story begins. Oh, yeah. What is that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The truck driver voice. You know what it is? The pilot number 69.
Yes. Oh, that's a good number.
This is a good number. It's a great show. And we are drinking Alesmith Sublime Mexican Lager.
Oh, yeah.
Sublime Long Beach. Our guest, Damian King, Opie Ortiz, Long Beach natives. It's a Long Beach show.
Clean and crisp with a subdued hop bitterness to balance makes Sublime Mexican Lager the go-to beer for hot summer days.
He's invested in this.
Your backyard barbecue, of course, or your favorite concert.
We got to end it with a
yeah.
There you go.
No, the beer is pretty sweet. It's pretty good. Opie Ortiz, even better. Dude, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, you're also a tattoo artist. We're here at Still Life Tattoo in Seal Beach. Before we get any further, let's talk about this freaking place. Dude, this place is awesome. My wife got a tattoo here by Damian.
Right.
When I was here with her, I mean, you played everything from like Bob Marley to West Side Connection to like Jimi Hendrix.
It's like a constant battle with these kids, man. They want to hear the old punk rock. You know, that's Damian. He wants to hear punk rock.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's my forte too. I was raised on punk rock and everything, but.
And it's decorated. It's awesome. How did you guys hook up with Still Life? How's that work here?
Still Life is owned by Tim Shelton, and we are all his warriors. But this shop was started 5 years ago, and I was in between shops, I think, leaving American Beauty. But I think I went to Ink Assassins, and Damian came over there, and we had been working together for probably the past 10 years. So we came over here to work with Tim. He has a really nice setup, and I enjoy Damian's company. We enjoy Ben's company. We enjoy Tim's company. We enjoy everyone, you know, all the people that work here. So we're just trying to expand and do what we do and have fun.
You guys make good art. You guys, it looks like you guys are just having a blast here while you guys are at work. How did, for both of you guys, whoever wants to go first, how did your tattoo journey begin? I mean, it's not like you don't go to like Long Beach City College, grab a pamphlet and be like, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. Or, you know what I mean? Like, how did that work? How does that come about? Were you guys created from the beginning and they just transfer?
I'll tell you how it started for me. Like, it's not like it is today. Like, back in the day, you had to really know people who are in the industry and show dedication, and there was no like pussyfooting around like about being a tattoo artist. You had to show dedication like by being there every day.
Gotcha.
And you know, starts off by cleaning. You start off at the bottom, you know, and then if you do get apprenticeship by someone that's qualified to do that, then you're considered lucky. You know, you might have your foot in the door, but it all depends on how you take all that info in and use it, you know. So yeah, there's a lot of people that, oh, I want to be a tattoo artist and all this shit, you know. It's like, it's not like a show or like a, you know, you just miraculously make tattoos appear on skin. It's like, it's really hard.
Right,
and it's
right.
Not like, you have to have artistic skill and, you know, people skills and like, just like natural skills to be, you know, see what's happening around you and see what's going on, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. Like back then, it was really hard. So we came from the school where, you know, we were tortured and shit like that. And then I think Damian came like right after that.
I got tortured by him.
we tortured him, but
passed down the torch
right
but,
on.
But we knew what was, you know, what was necessary and what was not necessary, I think.
Okay.
I mean, the older cats that taught us, you know, Rick Walters and the other people that we saw tattoo, like Joe Vegas and Demon and Mike Brown, rest in peace, and all these other tattooers, they weren't, like, I don't think they were willing to show, you know, their skills. We just happened to be there. So if you happen to be there and be lucky enough, like, you know, that's you consider that a really, you know, detrimental point.
So it's like you crossed paths, and then you took advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, these names that you mentioned, you know, that I mentioned, like, those are really, you know, significant tattooers in this area. Like, and, you know, other tattooers came in, and we, you know, we had magazines. We didn't have the, you know, any kind of web, you know, to go trip out on. So we just had tattoo magazines or books that we got. So we knew, like, you could count the baddest tattooers on your, you know, 10 fingers.
Gotcha.
At that time when we were coming up. And they were from all Canada, wherever, you know, but, like, that's the school we came up on and under was very limited at that time. There was not, you know, and I'm sure it was like that all the way around, but then, you know, technology changed and changed the whole world. So
we just got lucky to have Burt Grimm's. I think Long Beach has Burt Grimm's tattoo.
What's his, which was like a mark.
It was, that's like the oldest tattoos in the world.
He coined it was the oldest shop in the U.S.
22 Chestnut.
Okay. Yeah.
That's where I started. That's where OP was at, or he was there. That's how you started, right?
Yeah. I never tattooed there, but I apprenticed there under Scully and Rick, and I witnessed magic there go down, and I was like, I have to be a part of this. And that's what, when I think of tattooing, that's what I think of. You know what I mean? I don't think of, like, say, this kind of setup, because this is, like, modern day, but, like, back in the day, if you walked into Burt Grimm's and you smelled it and you, you know, smoke going
guns
through the room,
on the
guns out,
oh, wow.
Crazy West, motherfuckers in there getting tattooed, and, like, it was just, like, you were scared. That's what, there was fear. There was, like, you never knew what was going to happen. Cops weren't there to protect you, you know what I mean?
Nor,
like,
did they want to go.
They
probably
came in and got tattooed and shot guns outside too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're just like us.
Do you guys, when you guys finally got your hands on, like, on the gun, right? On the tattoo
machine.
Gun, on the machine.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember what the first tattoo was? And do you happen to know who you did?
Well, I was so fascinated by it at a young age, like at 15, that I started making little homemade machines. And I tattooed some of my friends, and I remember it was so hard. You know what I mean? It was just like
no still hands.
The visualization, like, of your mind making it happen, and then you actually doing it.
Yeah,
it was beyond me.
Oh,
there
wow.
was like, whoa, like what? Like, this is not fucking. I don't think this is right.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And then, like, the whole tattoo would fall out. The whole tattoo would fall out.
Yeah.
And my friend would be like, "Man, it was itching really bad." And then I was like, "Oh, I think."
Oh, you didn't take care of it.
We
right?
used the wrong ink. No, we totally used the wrong ink.
Oh, no way.
We used, like, some Higgins ink.
Oh shit.
And it totally fell out. It looked great when we were done, and then he was like, "Oh, it all fell out." And so I was just like, it was just discouraging every time.
Oh man.
Damn.
So you would start. Even, like, you would have a perfect setup, you would start, and, like, you would do a small line, and then instantly you would be discouraged. Like, something wasn't right.
Yeah.
It's like Murphy's Law, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like this podcast.
That's why we attach the pilot part to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dude, that's crazy. That seems like when you guys started it, it's a different world than what it is today. Everything's a different world than what it is today. Music, everything. But you guys are old school Long Beach. We're just pups. Like, you know, I moved out to Long Beach in about 2005, 2006, which was, you know, not recent. Fonz, you just moved out here.
Yeah, I don't think I should be wearing this hat right now. Because it's just 1 year.
Take it.
It's been here 1 year. I'm a pup.
But you know what? You're a pup. But because of our age, you know this. An ongoing theme with this podcast is that I fucking love, like, I stopped, like, I stood still, I feel like, with music, culture, everything, like, mid-90s. I feel like even the music I listen to, like, it's got to be like mid 90s and before. What was Long Beach like in the early mid 90s?
I went to Wilson High School.
Bruins.
And
all the Bruins.
It was, we were just the punkers. And so, if you know what I mean, like there wasn't that many punkers that went there. It was like Vince Vasquez, Gus Marks, Tracy Cheevers, Winter, Jenny Penny, and a couple other people. But we were following a scene that was like we were talking about earlier, that was like the underground punk rock scene, which was like you kind of, you don't associate yourself with anything else, you know what I mean? You kind of just like, I don't give a fuck about what's going on today. I'm here to be a punk rocker, and this is my life. And I can see, like, I ask Damien all the time, like, what the fuck, what are you doing, you know? What the fuck's going on here?
In general.
But I forget sometimes that, you know, I was just like him, you know? Like, we wanted to fucking rock out and party and have fun, and that was the way we did it, you know? Like,
yeah.
Whether it was a band playing or us playing albums or, you know, smoking weed at the beach or doing whatever we did, like, we were into the underground fucking punk rock scene of being not being, in
right,
a sense,
right.
Like, under the radar or whatever.
And you can be under the radar, no hashtags, no social media, nothing. But now, it's either word of mouth or flyers.
Yeah, so, like, that was the whole deal. You get a flyer for a show, and it was, like, hand-drawn by...
By
somebody.
You?
Yeah. You know what I mean? But, like, seriously,
nice.
I have idols, bro. Like, Sean Carey, she fucking drew a lot of the Circle Jerk stuff. Like, Puss Head,
yeah.
Who drew
yeah.
a lot of, like, you know, a lot of the original Puss Head stuff. And then there was, like,
Mark Rude.
There was, like, all this punk rock art, I think, that captivated me as a punker to be like, oh, I can do that. You know what I mean? And there was like Rick Clayton, who did all the suicidal shit. So there was always artists involved in all that shit to captivate me. So like I was just rolling with the crew, you know what I mean? So
right. That's
when I think like I met Eric and, you know, Jack and those guys, and they were all in a punk band. I think Eric had a band. And we would just hang out and party, and that was our clique. There wasn't like a bunch of us. There was like 20 of us, you know what I mean? And there
yeah.
was the older cats that were way gnarlier than us, that thought we were the little shits, you know, that already did everything we did, you know, and we thought we were, you know, like breaking the news
going
or something.
The grain,
yeah, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like we were just growing up in some kind of like environment where we had idols, we had these dudes that we looked up to, and we had the music that we wanted to listen to, and that's what.
Yeah.
That's the way we lived.
You guys had a couple shows. You guys are gonna have more shows in the fall. What's the lineup has changed? What's the lineup now? And tell me a little bit about tell our listeners a little bit about the band.
We started playing shows because Ike and Aaron, the two brothers that we had been playing with, had passed abruptly. So we kind of like reached out to each other and decided to do some shows. And then we played The Blazing Glory for our buddy Zinger, who's kind of like our manager with Resume. And we just...
Get close to your mic, asshole.
It felt really good. It felt really good to play. And We just did a live show with Dilated. We played right after Dilated during that set. And we know them, and it feels better when you're jamming with people you know. I mean, there's a lot of new bands coming up these days. And being that we haven't played in so long, like, I know we're going to be, you know, playing with a lot of these, you know, bands that I've really never heard of. So
right.
Yeah.
I'm not really reaching for any kind of new music unless, you know, someone tells me about it.
Uh-huh. I did see. Well, I'm not sure if you know, but I did see that you guys played with Special C.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
We know Special C.
Special
yeah.
C.
We know
so
Special C.
Special C has been on our show twice.
Okay.
They're the only.
Yeah.
They're the only guests, I guess.
Yeah.
That have been on twice.
They've been on our show twice.
That's. They're different lineups.
Yeah.
Different bases.
I know
the
them
show.
Through through just, I think, playing a show. And then I went and saw them when I think Jacob played with them. Law played, they opened up for Law or something.
It's like, oh, yeah. So it's like, I had to bring that up. Because
I think I know the drummer.
Bubba.
Bubba. Yeah.
Jason McMacken.
Yeah, Jason McMacken.
Our second show with him was in his garage, and this was like last November when it was cold as fuck. I literally wore a parka.
Yeah. Do what you gotta do.
It was a freaking ice house in there, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's right. I was reading that, and I was like, it was a show a couple, like when you guys came back after a 10-year stop. You guys played a couple of shows, the Yost Theater.
Yeah, we did the one with the Fishbone,
and then shortly after, you guys played with Special C.
Everyone's doing their own side projects. Kind of, I've still been recording. Jack's still been recording. So, we linked up with Ed Campworth. He played with the Specials, and he played with Suburban Rhythm, another band from Long Beach.
So let me ask you this: why do you think? What's your opinion? Why does everyone like your music? It's not like only punk. It's not only like reggae, dub dudes. It's not only hip hop. It's everything combined. Like Sublime, Long Beach Dub All Stars. Everyone has a good opinion about your guys' band. Why do you think? What's your opinion? Why is that?
I think it's just the diversity of, like, we play punk, we play different styles of music, and then we'll bring out like Barrington or HR or something like that. Those are our friends. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, come on, we're going to pay, you know. Of course it is, you know, payment, you know, we respect them for what they do. But it's more like, hey, you want to come and sing some songs with us? And that's what it is. It's just a brothership of, you know, musicians. Like Marshall said it before, it's like a platform for lyricists to come and do their thing.
Right, for sure. You know what? I consider you my friend. But I only have like $20 on me right now. So I hope the beers are good. Damien, you too. You're my friend. I hope the water works.
We're already in the doghouse. We're already in the doghouse. My lady was like, podcast for what?
Well, don't tell her it's us. Make up another podcast because then she's gonna be even more pissed.
She just blames it on me.
No, she no, I did. She said, "Who's it for?" And I said, "Oh, well, it's for Damien's friends." And she couldn't get mad at me. She loved Damien.
And then you can throw us under the bus anytime you want, man.
Yeah. We are here for podcasting and scapegoats, dude.
She'll probably listen to it and be like, oh, it was really good.
So Damien, so you guys were working today, right? I mean, that's the only reason you guys were here. What'd you guys work on today?
Yeah, what'd you guys work on?
I had to do we're doing a 45. It's called Holding Out and Steady Customer, I believe. And I had to finish some artwork for the cover. So did like a little frog smoking a pipe.
Nice.
Kind of like an eloquent, what'd you call him? English frog.
Englishman, yeah.
What'd you work on?
I just did a little walk-in. I didn't have anything going
today. Oh, cool.
And the podcast.
And the podcast.
Dude, getting back to you playing. So like we go see a band. We're watching you guys on stage. You guys are playing. You guys are doing your thing. Five to ten dudes on stage. You guys are freaking rocking out. You guys got a different view of the venue. You guys see a bunch of people. Do you ever see any weird shit while you're playing? You're like, what the
hell? You know what? It's weird. Your mind kind of goes into like a zone where you're just kind of worried about the performance.
Got you.
So I tend to like zone out. And like my daughter, Roxy, has like noticed it before. She's like, she'll say, Dad, are you stressed? And I'll just be like, yes. Okay. I'm not really stressed. I'm having a good time.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, If I tell her I'm stressed, she'll probably leave me alone. You know what I mean?
He keeps his eyes closed most of the time. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you got a bunch of dudes on
stage. You know what the deal is? I'm trying not to get too buzzed, to have too good of a time. You know what I mean? I just want to be clairvoyant. I want to be kind of like taking in what the band's doing and try and just do with the moment. Like sometimes it's better. Sometimes it sounds better. Sometimes the vibe is better. Sometimes the night's cooler. You know what I mean? There's all these factors that go into it. Like, I can't control all that. I can just control, like, you know, try to be as mellow as I am and then try to go off as much as possible.
So do you like to be chill or do you like to be amped before your show? Do you have a pre-show ritual?
Yeah, I usually have a heavy-duty pre-show ritual.
Heavy duty pre-roll.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, I like to just chill with the guys. We'd usually you know, we take a couple shots before we play. We'll have beers. We usually eat, you know, a good time before the show. You know, we're all there, like, mingling, you know. We try to be as talkative about the set and, you know, what's going on. And, you know, we're just trying to be a little bit ahead of, you know, like, not be like we used to be, like, just wasted, you know, caught in the moment. Like, maybe it'll go right. Now we're, like, thinking ahead and, like, making sure it does go right.
We got to learn from that, Walt.
Well, that's what I was going to say on a way smaller scale. this is our second podcast. It's gone a lot better. We've been podcasting since 2005.
No, it takes time, you know.
Our first show was just like, let's just get hammered. It's unscripted, and we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's a lot of that.
It went well, but there was only like 4 shows in the whole United States, so that's why it worked.
That's how Dub All Stars were formed, basically.
How's that?
We were just partying, jamming out, and then it started to formulate into, you know, well, I mean, all the players were there, put there on purpose, you know what I mean? But you start having fun and doing, you know, doing what you do, then magic happens, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of organic. Some of the best things are just organic. You're just right place, right time, and kind of like the band, kind of like you guys being tattoo artists. By the way, Damien, you freaking rocked my wife's tattoo. She was so stoked, dude. And you did it with Opie heckling you the whole time. So it's like, how you did it with all that distraction?
I don't even notice that.
When? Which one? Who was that?
Which one?
Oh, hey, by the way, and before we go on a break, do you guys know Heidi Santos?
Yeah.
Because I bumped into her here.
Kev's customer.
She's the link to when we did our last podcast with GBH or Ross Lomas. Oh, she's cool. The one who set that show.
Never heard of her.
Okay, but she comes here. So much love, Heidi Santos.
Yeah.
Do you have any questions before we go on a break? Much love, Damien King, who manifested this podcast.
Day.
And ultimate mad love.
We call him Day Day on the reg.
Day Day, cool.
Or,
that's what we're calling.
Also known as.
Hey, really quick. So I met Damien at a gym, but this gym's not like a gym. It's like more like a tennis. Like
it's his gym.
It's the average age in this gym is like 55. And in comes Damien, like freaking looks like a milk truck, dude. Just freaking stacked and tattoos
hungry.
all up and down his body. Yep. And you know what, dude? He is the nicest guy in the planet. That's why I love hanging out with you.
He's the nicest guy in the planet. Works at that gym. And you know what he told me? His exact words were, "Damien runs that gym."
Dude, no. You know, this dude is... You're a freaking awesome cat, dude. Since the moment he walked in with a smelly DK cutoff t-shirt. Hey,
some people look at Damien.
Smile, that smile with that big ass
smile.
Hey,
some people look at Damien and they're just like, oh my God. And then I'm just like, dude, you have to meet him. You have to.
Yeah, you got it. My friend from Japan,
we were at a show. And I go, really scary, but super nice.
And then, that's what he said.
Later at the bar, I met him again, and the dude was explaining me to his friend, and he's like, scary look, very nice.
Dude, and your wife does something very unique, right? Not too many people does what she does. Do you want to talk about what your wife does?
Yeah, she's got a full nude pinup magazine. I think it's the only one there is right now, called Camp Out Magazine.
Yeah, Camp Out. And it started last year, maybe?
Yeah, she just hit her 1 year mark.
Sweet, dude,
I think the fifth issue comes out.
Totally vintage, totally
super
retro.
Cool magazine, yeah.
It is gnarly, dude. I'll keep tabs on it on social media. I'm like, dude, it's freaking dope. But just the creativity to keep it in that certain kind of way, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, she had no computer skills, no magazine knowledge, nothing. And she just was like, I'm going to start
a
magazine.
Let's do some print.
And I was like, are you sure? Like, and she totally did it.
Hooligan, stop for a while. Change your hooligan style. Don't fight your brothers and your sisters now. Give them a helping hand. Oh, what a great sensation when love is in your soul. Spread it across the nation.
sensation when love is in your soul. Spread it across the nation.
Started the show with the Ailsmith Sublime beer. We didn't really quite talk about it, or actually, you described it. What do you think about it? You were there in the forefront when this came out. What are your thoughts of the beer?
Oh, I'm backing it. I'm
like
backing
the taste?
It. Yeah, I rap with the owner and his wife, and we sat and drank like I don't know how much of this stuff, but it says right here, crisp balance, easy drinking. You know what I mean? Got this bitchin' sun thing I drew on it too.
That's some weird sun picture on the
weird sun picture.
Yeah, I don't know. Like whoever wrote, whoever
it's
created that, it's kind of crazy. I think I found.
I can't stop staring at it.
I might have found it in the back of a tattoo magazine at some point, yeah. And then I
Wait
don't know
minute,
what happened
let's
after
see what's
that.
At the There's something floating in the bottom.
So I want to spend a little time because I got both of you guys. We actually want to spend a little bit of time doing like tattoo talk.
Oh, it's tat talk, Damien.
Tat talk. We need like a yeah. There
talk.
It is. There it is.
Tat talk.
So people
it's,
come.
Okay, wait till we're like totally wasted.
Yeah.
And we're at a club and the music's way too loud, and like our wives are chilling there, and we're like boom 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 choo, doom, choo.
That's the best time to ask about
it. We never go there. We don't do that. But anyways, wait till we're there, and then be like, hey, bro.
Tattoo.
I was thinking about getting a tat. You know, my
I
first
start
tat.
My sleeve.
What, bro? A dumbbell.
I want to get like a yeah. I want to get like a wing on my arm, just one.
I love it. Perfect. That is yeah. a great segue because I wanted to ask
that's
you guys.
That's not what we don't. That's not what we do though. Okay, when you do that to us at in an open place, not in our place of business. This is what we do.
What do you do?
We say,
Dude.
What kind of work do you do?
Okay.
And you say, I'm a roofer. And I say, you know those one kind of tiles that are kind of like European and look like wood? I want to roof my whole roof like that. And then I want off-centered, like white ones underneath. If you understand what I'm getting at, like,
oh, yeah.
I'm going to talk about your work at the bar. We're not going to talk about my work. Oh, you're a plumber? Oh, I want them copper. I want the all copper underneath. I want it shined. I want it polished. I want it visible, but I want it underneath the ridge. And then if you could put, like, I want red fixtures. But you understand
often,
what I'm saying?
How often do you guys get that in your real lives on the daily? How often does that happen?
It happens a lot.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. If you're like you want to talk tats, like you got to be a tattoo artist first. Like, me and Damien don't even talk tats.
Yeah. So that's actually what the whole thing, like the whole part of this section is that we want to talk to people. Like we want you guys to like let us know what people should know before they walk in or if they see you on the street. You know, it's like there's
know
certain,
what you want.
But
know
before wait, wait, but before we get to that, that was like my question. Like before that, like how you're talking about the roofer, how many people do you guys get? A lot of people that come unprepared for a tat? Like they show up like they're gonna get a tat, but they're maybe hammered high, maybe didn't shower. I don't know what the rules are, but like if you guys can like educate
Damien
people,
does, like push ups
like,
and pull ups to this shit. And he's like, motherfuckers coming today. And they want to fucking talk about fucking color tattoos and what they want to get, and they only got $60. They want to fucking talk
Gold.
About.
You know that's what I'm mean? Fucking talking. Yes, come on, keep it coming because.
Oh yeah,
I want this to be educational right
I'm
now.
I'm working on a sleeve. Okay. You don't have anything. Well, I'm going to be working on it. Like.
So first rule number one, like unprepared, like dudes come and they don't have enough money. dudes come with a big old
thing. The amazing thing is they come in here and they get tattooed and they don't have money. They have to go get the money.
Yeah, that does happen. That fucking
amazes me.
So come, rule number one, come with money.
Yeah, come with cash.
Fucking money. Yeah, yeah.
With a lot of money.
How else have people come unprepared? What is? I love that. The whole.
They don't eat. They don't. They're like still buzzed. Oh, so
are they
day.
Like? Can you stop? I gotta go get something to eat.
Malnourished. You know what I mean? Dehydrated.
And a lot of people fucking watch like Ink on Vicodin and shit too,
on like six Vicodins and
that's cool. Just share. All you gotta do is
Fireball. Share. Two shots of Fireball. And half pint of Fireball and six Vicodins, and I think I'm ready for a back piece.
Yeah, that's my warm up.
What did you say about Ink Masters?
Oh yeah, I think a lot of people watch like those.
I can't wait to get home tonight to watch Ink Master tonight. What's going on tonight on Ink Master?
Oliver Peck and I don't know.
Oh God, I love him.
You know, they'll think like, oh yeah, I want to come in. It should take about an hour, right? About half. Everyone thinks they know everything.
Oh yeah, I like when they do that and they're like, oh, it's only going to take 10 minutes.
It's only going to take, 10 minutes, an hour.
What if I want to do it underwater? It's going to take a lot more time.
What if you ask for an underwater tat?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, so time is another one. People are like, they think they know how long the time it's going to take you to actually do a tattoo.
And even the smallest, most simple tattoo is still going to take 20 minutes just to get it ready.
Just
you
to
know?
Set up.
So,
right. This is gold. People, that's what I'm fucking talking about. That's why you listen to this show. That's why you listen to these guys right here.
Don't come here asking for like light gray tattoos, white tattoos, or just no color, you know, watercolor fucking shit. We do old school tattooing over here. OG shit.
What does that mean?
That means we do old school tattooing. We do, you know, the original style tattooing, not this new school Pinterest
blackout
fucking
lines.
Oh, high contrast. Fuck off. We do fucking tattoos, not fucking what you're seeing on your fucking little Instagram feed.
Oh, I love this. Yeah, we got to educate people, man. You know, it's just like they got to come prepared. They got to do their homework. They got to know what they want. So
yeah, and what
and
they
you
usually
don't want to offend you motherfuckers. You guys work hard, like, dude. Fucking don't be an asshole. Like, you're coming in, be appreciative of the service that's given to
do
you.
Do your fucking research and study your shit and know what you want to get and find something that's dope that consists of what you're about, not fucking what everyone else is fucking getting.
Yeah.
Which leads us to trends. You want to
go
ahead?
Yeah,
that?
Like the tribal trends back in the 90s.
Barbed wire, the tramp stamp.
He started that.
Tribal shit was dope. You got to give it to them.
Hey, okay, take two.
Tribal shit was dope. They still stand. They still stand alone. You know, with all their shit, they're tribal, and I respect that. You know what I mean?
Do all tattoo artists can do a cover up, or is there a split?
Oh hell no.
No.
Have you guys done cover ups? Some weird ones when you see the original piece, and you're like what?
Who
the
fuck did that? No.
You know, I never ask that shit because the stupidity that you have to deal with.
I always ask.
No.
No, I'm saying someone comes in with a piece and says, "Can you cover that up?" And you're looking at it like you're like, "Whoa, what?"
No. Yeah. Well, there's always a way to cover
ever,
it.
Right? I don't say oh or wow or anything anymore.
No.
I mean, in your mind, like, have you ever seen a
well,
weird
if you
piece?
See like a big ass black fucking thing, you're like, how am I gonna cover that?
But seriously, it doesn't
that's
make
happened?
Me.
Yeah. All the time.
It doesn't make me go, oh God, I gotta cover that. I just say no, I don't want to cover that.
Gotcha.
Oh, they're already, you know, fucked.
I like that.
Like they've already gone to a point where there's no return. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's past artistic.
You're fucking weird.
That's why lasers. That's what lasers are for. Now.
That's what lasers are for. Hey, speaking of weird, Fonz, you brought this up to my attention. DGWD.
He needs a cover up.
He needs a cover up.
My face.
Your face. DGWD. Don't get weird, dude. How did that come about? Tell our listeners what that is and how did that come about.
That came about because of my clients. Because.
So it's not about Damien.
It kind of is. No, it came about because, like, my clients are weirdos and people are just weird. So I was consistently saying that, like, don't get weird. Like, you know, get in the chair, get tattooed, you know. And then you have to hear stories that these people are saying. And people are strange, you know what I mean? It's just like. So don't get weird, dude. Just kind of like happened. Then I made stickers. And then I actually ended up painting something, and it happened to be an owl. So then there was like more questions. And like, it doesn't really mean shit. It's just a clothing company that I came up with that, you know, I have a bunch of homies that get tattooed, and it's just
how many fun. Owls have you done?
Oh my God.
How many DGWD owls?
I was counting. I think there was 100 at one time.
One day. And a couple, steel. And that one couple with yeah. the arrows in the up and down.
No, there's probably 200 fucking weirdo people walking around with DGWD tattoos.
Well, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Reno room. There's just a bunch of weird people in there, and so if they don't have that, I'll
at
send
six
them
in the
over
morning,
here.
They need them.
Six
yeah.
in the morning, I'll send yeah. them over.
6 a.m. Reno. We've been there at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. Those day
I've been
drinkers.
Wanting to do that, man. Yeah, I've been yeah, wanting. For real. Yeah.
Once I start working full nighttime, like the count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, one of the best.
I'll see you at the Red Horse.
Remember fucking Reno
give me
room?
A call. I'll meet you there.
Reno room. We 6 o'clock. I'll
we were
be
out
there.
Drinking.
In the morning.
I'm just going to leave right now, take care of business. I'll see you there at 6 a.m.
We were out drinking one night, and we got wasted, right? And it was the first time I'd ever drank sake.
Oh,
and he had a rental. He rented a Cadillac.
Why don't you just say it's
nice
the first
Cadillac.
Time you ever drank?
I remember my first sake.
So anyway, I puked up so much sushi inside the car, dude. Like on the inside.
Like yellow.
And, so he's dry. Well, I shouldn't say that. He somehow, the car ended up at Reno.
I was driving
room.
Drunk.
Dude, we were wasted.
I was driving wasted. So I drove, we were wasted, and then we were at a bar, we went and ate sushi, and then went to this bar, and then we went to this other bar, and I had forgotten that I had parked my rental car behind this other bar.
I was passed out in the car, though.
So I lost my mind. And I thought I lost the car, so I called and made a police report. Right? Hey. So I called and made a police report and went over to where I thought the car was
and
at.
And you're in the car?
No, he was at home.
Well, no, I was in the car. I woke up in the car, wrote him a note,
so
and I was like, hey, I bailed and walked to my mom's
found
house.
Found out that the car was behind the bar.
Yeah, in Reno.
Reno room. And I found it and saw the note, and it said, I got sick. I had to go home. Bye-bye, I love you, Damien.
No, but first you walked to my mom's house. He showed up at my mom's house, and he tells my stepdad, I lost my car.
His stepdad is hilarious, bro. His stepdad's like all serious, big old buff dude. He's like, I go, I lost my car. And he's like, what kind of car is it? And I was like, Cadillac. And he's like, you lost a Cadillac? And I was like, yeah, I don't give a fuck. It's a rental.
I was passed out on the porch at my mom's house.
But you know what? Then I did that. That's when I realized I had a drinking problem. I was blacking out and like not remembering where anything was. So if you're doing that, call 911 to help you.
And go get a DGWD t-shirt
or a
tattoo.
To help you remind yourself where your car's at.
Leave a trail of DGWD stickers.
Yeah, don't drink that much.
Guys, this has been a pleasure. Awesome. Awesome job. Great stories. This is phenomenal, man. You guys got shows. You guys got shows in November.
Yeah,
I believe the Observatory in Santa Ana in November 22nd, November 24th, North Park.
Nova,
and then,
LA.
Yep, November 25th.
Yeah.
The idea of this podcast was to talk about still life, what you're up to, Long Beach Dub All-Stars. But I'd be remiss if I couldn't spend like 14 seconds talking about how popular your art is all over the world, man, worldwide. And I literally see your art every day. Like I bet your art's all over the world. You created the sun logo for Sublime. How did that come about?
I just happened to be involved with some people that were doing something that was, it was something, you know what I mean? Like it was substantial and it was going down on physical copy, you know what I mean? Like I happened to be involved with some artists that were coming up, you know what I mean? And that's all I can say is like I was lucky enough to be friends with these people that were creating something that was like lifelong, you know what I mean? So, and he told me, he was like, he expressed like his love for my art, you know, and I expressed that I wanted to be a part of, you know, what he was doing. So I think that I just happened to be lucky, you know, like in there comes times in your life when you can make decisions and you can do stuff that your name will go on, you know what I mean? Whether it be art, whether it be music, whether it be working, or, you know, your name, it doesn't go unacknowledged, you know what I mean? Your work doesn't go unacknowledged. So you have to just, you know, try to be creative and try to find your niche, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I think, like, tattooing, I think, helped me be helpful to Damien, helpful to other people and stuff like that, you know, be like a pillar, you know, that they can always ask questions. And I'm not like the greatest artist in the world, you know what I mean? I'm just an artist.
But I think that's what makes it even better. You're not like there's still a human side to you where you can relate to people. And what you did is something that's very popular, but it doesn't pull you outside of who you really are.
I think a lot of people create a lot of radical stuff and they go unacknowledged. I think because,
like, hence the whole most of the city of Long Beach.
Well, I mean, not just Long Beach, like, there's, you know, if you look at Tokyo, if you look at Miami, if you look at New York, there's huge art communities there, you know what I mean, that everything goes, a lot of it goes unacknowledged. So just because my stuff happened to be on a prolific album, you know what I mean, I feel like I could do more. You know what I mean? Like, you should always feel drive and try to do more.
Well, you guys aren't done, although it might feel like a step backwards being on this podcast, but you guys aren't done. You guys are going forward.
Yeah.
And you guys have been a blast to be on our show. I'm happy to have this conversation.
Appreciate it.
Tell our listeners, where do people find you on social media, if you guys know that off the top of your head?
I'm on Instagram, Tattoos by Opie, and that's probably the only thing you find me on. LBDA music on Instagram also.
And you can go buy a ticket for Long Beach Dub All Stars in November. They can find you there.
Playing with Fortunate Youth and Arise Roots at the Observatory in LA. North Park? And the Observatory in San Diego and the Nova. Novo.
Yeah,
Novo.
Yeah, yeah.
LA.
Yeah, so to be clear, November 22nd, the Observatory in Santa Ana. November 24th, the Observatory in North Park, San Diego. And then the very next day, the 25th, at Novo in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and come down to Still Life Tattoo and get a tattoo from any one of our artists. Kano, Keith, Fiedelstein, Damien Kingster.
Yeah!
Ben Fitzgeraldstein.
All of them. Throw them out. Who else?
Opie Ortiz. Tim Shelton.
Bring cash.
Mr. Lucky. And of course, Mr. Scully.
Who's here tonight? Who is this?
That's Ben Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's
Ben Fitzgerald.
That's
man.
Mr. Fitzgerald. He's the oldest member of the crew. Just kidding. No, I'm older.
Ben, thanks for your patience, man. Damien, where do we find you on social media?
Instagram at the King's Fury.
Oh, over there.
Yeah, over there.
Excuse me, is this the King's Fury? Is Sweet D here? I'm looking for the King's Fury.
Is that what you get when people come in here?
They walk in here, seeing the sign, and go, oh, I think I'm in the wrong place. Is this the King's Fury?
Oh, you're big time, Damien. You're big time, dude.
Hey, I'll tell you this story. One time back in American Beauty days, when Dub All Stars were in full effect, after Brad had passed, maybe like a year or two, me and Bud Gaw were standing out in front of American Beauty smoking a joint, and someone rode, like, was driving by on PCH and yelled, Scully! So that just ought to let you know.
Scully works here, too.
Scully's here.
Right on.
That was American Beauty days, but Scully is actually over here now.
Here, the whole mob is here. Yeah. The whole mob is here.
Whole fam.
Anything we failed to ask that you guys want to plug, anything that we missed in our conversation?
Yeah, check out opiortees.com for any kind of merchandise or anything like that. If you, I don't have any on there right now, but I'm going to be saving some money to make some new stuff. So if you want a sticker, hat, or a t-shirt, I'll probably have it pretty soon.
And we're on the street, you're recording? You guys are thinking about recording? You guys doing some recording?
No, we're actually in the process of recording right now. We have shows in November, so we'll probably be recording for this month, and then hopefully we have a 45 we're getting ready to put out with two new songs on it, and then these new shows, and then recording.
Cool. Don't forget Camp Out Magazine.
Yeah, campoutmagazine.com.
Yeah, and then don't forget to listen to our previous podcasts. With Special C in the house.
Yeah. And pick up some Sublime beer, man.
Ale Smith, yeah, Sublime Brew, yeah, man. It's yeah, really good. Right on.
And the black cans are awesome.
Right. Like four beers.
The
right
Pilot
now.
Number 69.
Good job.
Attaboy stuff. Pilot yeah. Number 69.
Yeah, tattoo shop, 69. So if there's buzzing, it's because someone was working.
Someone, yeah, the hum is not like a hum because if it's a refrigerator. It's a tattoo shop.
And
Walt,
get it together, you fucking idiot.
The world don't stop, okay? Just because of a podcast, okay? Gotta get tatted.
People work.
This young lady came to get her sleeve done, you know what I mean? But, you know.